Sandra Bullock is a very well-known actress. In an interview that she had, she told about her response to the news that her 92-year-old grandmother had died. She told the reporter, "My grandmother just died, and I've been out searching for a church. I thought that the thing to do was to find a church and say a prayer." Well, let me tell you, Sandra Bullock represents a very large segment of our population who find themselves with no church, with no religious activity or affiliation when times of crisis come in their lives. But they sense the need to turn toward God in those times, because it's a very natural thing for those who were created by God to turn toward God in their times of crisis, even when they don't have a relationship at other times. And because of that, our churches need to be very bright beacons inviting those who are looking for God. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23, a psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In Psalm 23, David tells us how to be fearless in the midst of adversity. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he didn't cringe in the face of crisis. There are places in Scripture that are powerful that just to simply recite them is an experience. And Psalm 23 is one of those places. This psalm is very personal. There are no references to we or to us or to they, but only my and me and I and you. This is David's personal experience with God. He really believes what he writes. What he writes about God. He's experienced God in these ways. And his words are from very solid convictions that were formed on the paths of crisis. I mean, notice that in the first three verses, David refers to God in the third person. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul." But then when you get to verse 4 and verse 5, he makes a shift, referring to God in the second person. He says, "I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil." And then finally, he closes the psalm by returning to the third person. He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Why does David switch from talking about God with the word he to talking to God by using you? And why does it happen at verse 4? Well, the best suggestion is that he was speaking about valleys in which he had walked. He was talking about valleys in which he had walked. He felt the closeness of death. These were crisis points in his life. And in those times, something special happened between David and God. Because we're more prone to talk about God when we're in the green pastures and everything is just nice. And we're more prone to talk to God when we find ourselves in those dangerous valleys, in those difficult places. In the light, we tend to wander off toward greener pastures, greener grass. But in the dark, we stay close to the Lord. When life hurts, in times of crisis, God is closer than you think. And you can have confidence in Him to rise above the storms of life. Well, consider with me a couple of secrets to having confidence in times of crisis. Number one is this. Know that valleys are pathways to better places. Valleys are pathways to better places. You see, the picture of a shepherd with his sheep is what's used to describe the relationship that God has with us and that we have with Him. A shepherd leading his flock to green grass and to fresh water. You see, all physical needs are taken care of. He says, I shall not want. All emotional needs are provided for. He says, He restores my soul. And all spiritual needs are met. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. All of our needs being taken care of. The sheep being cared for by the shepherd. That imagery. But when we get to verse 4, it doesn't fit the picture. Verse 4 doesn't fit the picture. The valley of the shadow of death is it's the image of a dangerous situation where a sheep's life is in jeopardy. Why would a sheep be going through such a place? Well, it's not because he's strayed off into sin. That's not the reason. Because the shepherd isn't pictured as going to bring him back to a pasture that he left. No, the picture is that the shepherd is going with him through that valley, through that dangerous place. See, the reason the sheep is going through the valley is why? It's because the shepherd led him there. The sheep is going through the valley because the shepherd led him through the valley. And that connection between verses 3 and 4 confirm that idea. It says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. You see, the path that goes through the valley is one of the paths of righteousness in which God leads. God, there are many paths that God leads us through, and going through a valley in our life is one of the paths that God takes us through. Why would a good shepherd lead a lamb into a valley that's filled with danger and with death threats? Well, there's really only one possible answer to that question. It's to get to some better place. That's the only reason. It's to get to some better place. Philip Keller, if you ever heard of him, maybe not, but you may have heard of his book. Philip Keller was an Australian shepherd, and he wrote a book titled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And in there he speaks about valleys. He says, the shepherd knows from past experience that predators like coyotes, bears, wolves, or cougars can take cover in these broken cliffs and from their vantage point prey on his flock. He knows these valleys can be subject to sudden storms and flash floods that can send walls of water rampaging down the slopes. There could be rock slides, mud, or a dozen other natural disasters that could destroy or injure his sheep. But in spite of such hazards, he also knows that this is still the best way to take his flock to the high country. And so he spares himself no pains or trouble or time to keep an eye out for any danger that might develop. So when you find yourself walking through some unfamiliar, some difficult situation in life, you can remember that your shepherd has allowed that hard time as one of his paths of righteousness. Your shepherd, Jesus Christ, he has only your good in his plans. And if he feels that the best path to the next place you need to be is through a valley, is through a difficult time, then know that that's part of his plan. But the purpose of the valley is not the valley. The purpose of the valley is to get to another place. And that's so important to remember. You know, he's leading you through the valley because he's taking you to high country on the other side. Every valley is a pathway to something better. Psalm 84 in verse 11. Psalm 84 and verse 11. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Amen? God gives good things to His people. He has good plans for His people. Or as Paul put it, as difficult as it is sometimes, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Listen. Listen to me. The valley is not good, but the shepherd is. Amen? And then number two, another secret for having confidence in times of crisis. Number two, know that the shepherd protects his sheep. Know that the shepherd protects his sheep. I mean, how do you handle fear when you don't know what's going to happen next and your imagination is working overtime? Been there? Amen. Amen. I've been there. Sometimes I feel like I live there. David's confidence came from three sources. A, he stayed in God's presence. B, he saw God's power. And C, he sensed God's leading. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Three sources of confidence for David and for us as well. If you're taking notes, letter A is God's presence gives confidence. He says, "You are with me. You are with me." You see, when you step into a valley and it gets so dark that you can't even see the path ahead, and there's the possibility that predators and enemies are waiting to attack, Jesus wants you to remember that He will be with you. He wants you to remember that He'll be with you. And that there's temptation to escape. And we have all kinds of ways to escape. We can escape through drugs. We can escape through alcohol. We can escape through thrills. We can escape by just escaping. Just getting away from things. But we don't need to do that. We don't need to turn to some kind of escape. All you need, this sometimes sounds so simple and so trite, but all you need is the Lord. All you need is the Lord. Because He Himself said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Amen? That's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Writer Kenneth Wilson tells of growing up in Pittsburgh. He says, "The house in which we lived on the side of one of Pittsburgh's hills was three stories high in the front and four in the back." He said, "The bottom layer was the cellar and the top was what we called the third floor, which was really a finished attic, the ceiling of which was cut into shadowed geometric shapes by window dormers." He's up there were two bedrooms, a hallway, and a mysterious storage room for trunks that always smelled of mothballs. He said, "Our family slept there because the second floor was usually rented out for a tenant in order to help pay the rent." What was unnerving for Kenneth was that as the youngest, he had to go to bed first. Braving that floor of that dark bedroom, he said, "That bed in that room on the third floor seemed to be at the end of the earth, remote from human habitation, close to unexplained noises and dark secrets. At my urging, my father would try to stop the windows from rattling, wedging wooden matchsticks into the cracks. He said, but they rattled all the same. Sometimes he would read me a story, but inevitably the time would come when he would turn out the light and shut the door. And I would hear his steps on the stairs growing fainter and fainter. Then all would be quiet, except for the rattling of the window and my cowering imagination. Once I remember, my father said, would you rather I leave the light on and go downstairs, or turn the light out and stay with you for a while? I chose presence with darkness over absence with light. Amen. You know, no matter what the valley, no matter how dark the situation or the circumstance can get that you can go through, He will not leave you. Amen. He will not leave you. The second source of confidence for David was, he said, God's power gives confidence. God's power gives confidence. He says, your rod comforts me. God's power gives confidence. A shepherd's rod was about 2 feet long. It was basically a club. And it was usually made of oak. And it had a rounded head that had sharp bits of metal that were pounded into it. And it was used to defend the flock against attacks. It was to beat off animals and defend the flock. And what a picture of God's power working to defeat all of our enemies. Amen? God's power gives confidence. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the apostle says, you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. There is nothing in this world that's more powerful than the Holy Spirit's presence that's within us. And so God's power gives confidence. And then finally, the third source of David's confidence and courage is, see, that God's leading gives confidence. He says, your staff comforts me. He says, your rod and your staff comfort me. Your staff comforts me. David was referring to the shepherd's crook. It had kind of a hook on one end of it, and a shepherd would use it to guide the sheep so that they wouldn't stray away. And a gentle tap of the staff on the lamb's side would move him back into the flock where he needs to be. But it was also used if the flock stumbled into a ravine or into a hole, he was able to use it to pull the sheep out of that hole and get him back into the flock. You see, God's grace will get you through the valleys to the better place, the better places that the Lord has for you in His ministry. But remember that valley times are for your good. Valley times are for your good. There are lessons for your spiritual growth that can only be learned in the ravines of life. There's spiritual growth that can only happen as a result of circumstances and situations and problems as they get worked out. Stay close to Jesus at those times and trust His protection. Trust His guidance all the way. You know, believe that He has good reasons for taking that route, even if it's hard, even if it's unfamiliar. And then hold on to the truth that there is something better waiting on the other side of that valley. If we can take that view, this time is difficult, this time is painful, this time is hard, but on the other side of this time, there is something better. There's something better. And Jesus has that in our plans. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he was once approached by a concerned and inquiring person who said to him, Mr. Emerson, they tell me that the world is coming to an end. Emerson's reply was very simple and calm. He said, never mind, we can get along without it. You see, the hope that we have of heaven can give us confidence beyond this present world. We can do without this world. We can do just fine because we have a hope. We have heaven to look forward to.